This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
16th to go, an American Pharoah and firing line, and it's American Pharoah pulling away late. American Pharoah rules the Derby.
Chicago's about to erupt. The Illinois Red, the Pizza Man just won the Arlington Million under Pharoah Giroux.
Presented by Abracadabra Farm, Adena Springs, Airdrie Stud, American Racehorse Magazine, BetAmerica.com, Brisnet.com, Cal Density, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, FarmPaint.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainesway, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Tollgate Hay and Straw, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, Lane's End, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, Washington Hay, and Woodbine Entertainment.
One final try, down to the finish, Noble Bird, Lee, here's the winner, Noble Bird! Fantastic in the Foster! It's American Pharoah with that majestic stride, pouring it on through the stretch. Keen Ice runs in the second. American Pharoah, the party continues as he rolls home in the Haskell.
Now, here's Mike Pena.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Welcome to Saratoga, as we wish everybody across HRRN Nation a very happy Traverse Stakes Day. Mike Pena alongside the pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, the Big A, Anthony Stabile, our producer, Chauncey, Sean C., who has you covered, of course, on social media at HRRN on Twitter all morning long. And it is simply a spectacular morning here in Saratoga Springs, New York, with horses galloping through that morning fog, the sun continuing to rise over this historic racetrack, temperatures on their way to right around 80 degrees for the 146th running of the Travers this afternoon, post time 5:46 Eastern. But JT, let me tell you, this is no ordinary Travers Stakes.
No, no question about it, Mike. Triple Crown winner going for the Travers, racing rarity, so to speak. And the crowd's been here early, despite the fact that it's a sellout. Everybody came out to get their favorite little spot, their lucky place at Saratoga. And it's going to be a great day. Fantastic card and really a beautiful morning here.
Yeah, we had, as I call it, the running of the bulls right around 7 a.m. Eastern when the gates opened. Everybody running with their picnic, with their coolers to the picnic tables, trying to secure that spot. We have some folks next to our broadcast position here right on the apron who have been coming here for 20 consecutive years. They've been in this very same spot, making their way up from New Jersey for two decades, Big A. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's an amazing day. I mean, if we tried to plan this day, we couldn't have done a better job than Mother Nature, to God, well, whoever you want to blame for this day. This is just an unbelievable day. Should have a fantastic day of racing. And, you know, we have a racehorse in our midst that can really, we could be in the midst of greatness. We said it yesterday. I mean, it's unbelievable the role that he's on, and he's come at a great time. And just to see what he's done up here, turned Saratoga, the most historic place in all of horse racing, into Pharoah-toga for the last 4 days.
Yeah, well, you know, if American Pharoah is going to become just the second Triple Crown winner to take the Travers, joining Whirlaway, who did that in 1941, he's not only going to have to beat his nine rivals in today's Travers Stakes, but he's also going to have to overcome that mystique and the well-earned reputation that Saratoga has as being the graveyard of champions. What's the key to him doing that today, JT?
Well, just run his race. I think if he can get out of the gate good, that's going to be key, and then just take it from there. I mean, you know, kind of the way we talked about the Belmont, if you match raced him with every horse in the Belmont Stakes, he would win every time. It's very similar here. He just has great tactical speed, and the horses that are running against him really don't. So it'll be interesting to see if he can continue that role, how sharp he is. He looked great galloping here. He obviously breezed super at Del Mar. And so he's entering the race, I think, as good as he could possibly be right now.
I think that's been the key from a tactical perspective anyways, because on paper he is the main speed in this race, right? And if he breaks well, Victor should be able to put him on the lead, control the pace all the way around that mile and a quarter journey, and it could be over by the time they hit the top of the stretch.
And the key, Mike, is when he has been on paper the apparent controlling speed, he has on the track become the controlling speed. Even in the Preakness, a race in which a few people were confused as to what was going to happen, his rail draw, there were some other speed types in there. Victor realized when that deluge happened, just put him on the lead. Can't get any trouble on the front end. Certainly seems like the case in here, but I'd have to think that somebody is going to try their hand at pressing him because they've seen when he's left to his own devices on the front end, he is very, very tough to deal with. You can't beat him if he's left on his own in the front end. So I feel like somebody's going to go. I think it's Texas Red. I know we're going to have Heath the Sormo on in a little while. I plan on asking him if he's going to go put a little pressure on the big horse today.
Well, Texas Red is maybe the wild card in this race because you think about the other horses coming back here in the Travers. You have Frosted, who was runner-up in the Belmont Stakes. You have Tale of Verve, who was runner-up in the Preakness. And now Texas Red is a horse that didn't face him in those Triple Crown races, but the only time they squared off was as juveniles last year in the front runner at Santa Anita. Texas Red was closing at the end, ended up third behind American Pharoah, came back in a subsequent start to win the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. So, JT, Texas Red, a serious racehorse, winner of the Jim Dandy here, he could be the wild card.
Well, you know, it's always been my feeling that the DeSormo boys gave Texas Red a race against American Pharoah. They weren't interested in winning. They were interested in getting him to finish. And if you watch that race closely, Kent had him in hand, and he really didn't ask until late in the race. So I was very high on Texas Red going into the juvenile. I was disappointed that American Pharoah didn't run against him. I've been waiting for this race for a long time. But I think if you try to change a horse's style and try to run with American Pharoah early, you're not going to have that punch late like you would have. And I would be really surprised if they tried to ding-dong out there with American Pharoah because that's going to lead to disaster. Every time somebody tries to go with American Pharoah, they end up kind of towards the back of the chart, so to speak.
Well, Man of War was defeated just once in his illustrious career. That defeat came right here at Saratoga to a horse by the name of Upset. Gallant Fox, the 1930 Triple Crown winner, was upset here at Saratoga by 100-1 long shot Jim Dandy. Secretariat went down to a horse by the name of Onion, trained by the great Alan Jerkins, and Affirmed came here, finished first in the Travers, was disqualified after interfering with his rival Ali Dar. He was placed in second position. So this is the graveyard of champions. There are some things out there that American Pharoah will need to keep in mind when he goes to the post later on today in the 146 Travers. But make no doubt about it, this is a horse that is super talented. He is a Triple Crown winner. He is a champion, and he is here at Saratoga today, and it is going to be an electric atmosphere. Our coverage this afternoon coming up 3 to 6 Eastern. It's all presented by Sunrise Stallions. Eric Bishop from Sunrise is going to kick things off with us right after our first commercial break. We'll talk to him about their stallion roster and about their involvement here in supporting the industry and supporting that program with us this afternoon. Keith DeSormo, as Anthony alluded to, will be here at 8:30 Eastern time. He, of course, the trainer of Jim Dandy winner Texas Red. Our interview with trainer Bob Baffert, which we conducted a couple of weeks ago at the Fasig Tipton Sale. We're going to replay a clip of that for you right around 8:48 Eastern time. I think you're really going to enjoy some of the things that Bob has to say about his Triple Crown winner. Tim Wilkin from the Albany Times Union will be here at 9 o'clock Eastern time. And Hall of Fame jockey Gary Stevens, who rides Tale of Verve, won this race with Point Given. He is going to be with us right around 9:30 Eastern time. And, of course, our Right or Wrong segment at the end of the program and our Road to the Breeders' Cup. Very, very busy show. We're going to throw a poll question out there this morning as well. You can participate at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. And we're going to keep it very simple. Does American Pharoah win the Travers Stakes this afternoon? Yes or no? If your answer is no, who beats him? We want to know. Does American Pharoah win? And if he doesn't, who's the one to pull off the upset this afternoon? We're back with Eric Bishop from Sunrise Stallions on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, celebrating 10 years of award-winning coverage.
Celebrating 10 years of Eclipse award-winning coverage. Thank you for making HRRN your home for a decade of memories.
Join us for the Kentucky Sire Stakes at the historic Red Mile in Lexington, Kentucky. The Kentucky Sire Stakes is a culmination of a month-long series of preliminary races for 2 and 3-year-old pacers and trotters with total purses of over $1.6 million. Watch some of the finest standardbred horses, drivers, and owners compete in one of the richest finals in North America. First post is 7 p.m. on August 9th, 20th, and 30th at the Red Mile. For more information, visit khrc.ky.gov or call 888-KY-BREADS.
Are you a believer?
But it will be Justin Phillips to win the Vanderbilt by 2.
32 lifetime starts, 23 in greatest stakes.
And Justin Phillips will do it. He was a monster in the mud.
12 times first or second in greatest stakes company.
And Justin Phillips will prove best in the Cal Fleet Sprint.
Justin Phillips retired sound, having recorded 9 buyer speed figures of 100 or better and 3 times racking up rag sheet numbers of 2 1/4. Justin Phillips' first foals have arrived and are just like their daddy. Impressive, strong, and loaded with quality. Seeing is believing with Justin Phillips. Hashtag Justin Believers. Standing at Castleton Lions alongside multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Gio Ponti's first crop of yearlings averaged nearly $100,000 in 2014, and his first crop of racing age hit the track this year. Justin Phillips and Gio Ponti standing at Castleton Lions. Visit Castleton Lions.
Make plans now to attend the National Thoroughbred Owner Conference taking place at beautiful Gulfstream Park in South Florida, January 11th through 14th, the same week of the 2015 Eclipse Awards. Enjoy a great lineup of speakers and panelists, fabulous social events, and live racing at Gulfstream. Plus, you'll meet celebrity owners and successful thoroughbred owners from around the country. If you missed the inaugural owner conference at Keeneland, you won't want to miss this one. Visit ownerview.com to register today. That's ownerview.com.
Looking for the ideal setting to break and train your yearlings? Look no further than Abracadabra Farm. Situated on 240 acres in beautiful Ocala, Florida, Abracadabra Farm offers the perfect environment to break and train your yearlings. Featuring a 5/8 mile turf track, a 3/4 mile dirt track, a European turf gallop, and lush pastures with hammocks and individual paddocks, it's easy to see why Abracadabra Farm graduates have accumulated 30 greatest stakes performances and more than $22 million in earnings, including champions A Shadow and Fantasy Lake. Visit abracadabrafarm.com. To learn more.
And time now to showcase the Kale Density Horse of the Week, which you can find at the upcoming Keeneland September Yearling Sale. And this week's horse is hip number 1919. Write it down, 1919, a gray colt by Candy Ride out of Tapajo by Tappet. A first foal out of this Tappet mare by the number 3 ranked general sire, Candy Ride. Consigned by Gainsway for Winchell Thoroughbred's Corinthia Farm, where he was allowed to run free, not stalled, a natural athlete to behold, and fed Cal Density Black Label daily. Veterinarian Dr. Perry Warnell at Harrison Vet Clinic in Cynthiana, Kentucky, is quoted as saying, "I have watched these horses grow up and seen the impressive growth into big, stout horses with strong bones. See for yourself the special qualities Cal Density fed horses offer, like clean radiographs, conformity, bone density, hoofs, and attitude. Visit us at barn number 2 and get the buyer's edge for this special horse. Write it down, hip number 1919, and previous week's hip numbers 346 and 1023 at the Keeneland September Yearling Sale. Write them down."
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
American Pharoah has opened up a 2-length lead as they come to the top of the stretch. And Frosted has moved up into second, and they're into the stretch. And American Pharoah makes his run for glory as they come into the final furlong. Frosted is second with 1/8 of a mile to go. American Pharoah's got a 2-length lead. Frosted is all out at the 16th pole. And here it is. The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pena, Jude Feld, Anthony Stabile, Chauncey, Sean C., our producer on site, Lee Delapina, in our Lexington studios, and getting you ready for the 146th running of the Travers. Larry Colmus with the call of the Belmont Stakes. Of course, American Pharoah becoming The first Triple Crown winner in the sport of thoroughbred racing in nearly four decades, 37 years. And he is here at Saratoga this afternoon for the 146th Travers. Our coverage this afternoon, all brought to you by Sunrise Stallions, comes your way from 3 to 6 Eastern. You can tune in Sirius XM Channel 93, this very same channel you're listening to right now, on affiliates coast to coast, and of course streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. Don't forget, listeners in more than 160 countries have made Horse Racing Radio Network their home for live racing coverage. Make sure you do the same this afternoon at 3 o'clock Eastern Time. Eric Bishop is with Sunrise Stallions, and he's with us now here on the Equine Forum. Welcome to the program, my friend. Happy to have you on board.
Thank you, Mike. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, and thanks for all your support of what we're doing this afternoon. And, of course, you've been with us for a long time here as a sponsor. Can't thank you enough for that support. And how about this Travers Stakes? How great is this race?
This is amazing. I mean, I've been coming up to Saratoga for over 40 years. You know, my father trained. He used to stay up here. And you remember as a little kid and, you know, always, at least I've always enjoyed the mornings here before racing and just hanging out in the backstretch and driving around the golf carts and this is just beautiful, beautiful morning, and it's great to see. There's got to be 15, 20,000 people here already, so, I mean, this is awesome.
Do you have a favorite Travers Day memory or Travers Stakes memory?
Not so much Travers Stakes memory. I have a lot of good Saratoga memories. I have a funny story I'll tell everybody. I had, this was back in, like, 1990. I was driving up here in a little Dodge Colt with my two-year-old son and my daughter, who was about 4 months old, driving up on the Taconic, and you know the Taconic, if you go a little bit over the speed limit, you're getting pulled over. So I get pulled over.
If you don't hit a deer.
Yeah, I'm trying to make the first race. I got my kids in the car. I get pulled over. I tell the trooper, you know, he sees my kids in the car. He goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm trying to make the first race at Saratoga. He goes, all right. He goes, you're only going a little over speed limit. I'll give you a break. He goes, well, who do you like in the first? So I tell him who I like, and I continue on my drive, and I get up here, and Tony, tall Tony, was running the parking lot, and I knew I had only a minute or two, so I just get out of the car. I got my daughter. I got my son. I'm running to the window. Of course, I get shut out, and the horse wins, you know, so I've been down that road before, so I said, you know what, I'm not even staying. I put my kids back in the car. I drive back down. I'm driving down to the Taconic, and I'm making sure I don't go over the speed limit. And I'm getting pulled over again. Well, it's the trooper that pulled me over on the way up. He goes, hey, thanks a lot for that horse in the first race. I'm like, yeah, you're welcome.
And you didn't make a nickel.
Well, you saved the speeding ticket money at least. Both times.
Speeding ticket money and, you know, taking the Taconic. I saved the toll money on the thruway, you know. So, unbelievable. But that was a pretty funny story. So,
yeah, it's all part of what Saratoga is all about. You hear these stories all the time. We talked about the gentlemen that are sitting next to us here, a whole group of people been coming here for 20 years in that same spot. I had my spot at the top of the stretch at the picnic tables with my buddies from Pittsfield, Massachusetts. They're all back over here, too, and they've been doing this since the early 1980s. So it's a tradition type of racetrack where people do this with their families. They come out here, and that's what Saratoga's all about.
Yeah, it is. That we were here yesterday, and we had friends from Ozone Park that have been coming up here for 40 years, and same spot. You know, everybody gets their little spot, and I just love it up here. The atmosphere is just incredible. And, this is what horse racing is all about. You know, come out, party with your family or your friends or whatever, spend the day and, you know, hopefully have a little fun, maybe make a couple bucks, and that's what it's all about.
I'll tell you, it's a grind. Saratoga is a grind. With all everybody's up here, you get up in the morning, you go to the track, you're at the track all day, then you go out to eat, then you go to a bar, then you maybe get 2-3 hours sleep and you start it all over again. I mean, and it's 6 days a week, you know, the whole meet. You're just going.
You don't have to go to the bar, right?
Well,
that's not a prerequisite.
It's part of Saratoga. There's like 3,000 bars here.
And you do realize that sounds like heaven to most people I know.
I get it, but I mean,
yeah,
it,
you just like the part about going out to eat every night.
And the eating and drink. Well, no, yeah, because I never put a bet or two into my life, right, Baron?
It will wipe you out. It will wipe you out. But it's a great kind of life, you know. But you just have to really prepare yourself. You know, you really should get like hours of sleep before Saratoga starts, because you're not going to get any once the meet opens up.
Yeah. So, no, it's a pleasure for us to be a part of this radio. You know, I have six kids, you know, when I tell them about radio and they're like, radio, you know, what is that, you know? So, but I remember when I was younger in high school, you know, people ask me, what's your favorite race call? And I tell them Afternoon Delights. When Afternoon Delights won, they go, why? And I said, well, it was in high school. We had a tip on the horse first time out. And me and my friend run into his little Caprice and put the radio on. And back then, 10-10 wins on CBS radio would give you the stretch call of the race. So we get in the car, and we got our books, and we're listening to the call, and Afternoon Delights, I don't know if Marshall Cassidy, I think it was Marshall Cassidy then, if he screwed up the call or whatever, we couldn't remember, and we're sitting there, and we're like, oh, no, this ain't working, we're not even getting the call. Then all of a sudden, and the Afternoon Delights on the outside gets up and wins, you know. We're smashing the car, we're going crazy. You know, so when people say, what's your favorite radio call? I said, that's it, Afternoon Delights. So, but, you know, so this is, you know, there's so much tradition in the horse game, and the changes, you know, between internet betting and you know, we still remember the days where there was only a triple in the last race, right, at Aqueduct.
Yeah.
And you had a triple window or a daily double window, win, place, and show window. You couldn't bet, you know,
right,
all these crazy different bets at the one cage, you know. So if you bet in a triple, you had to get on that triple line, you know. And people are screaming the ninth race of the day. Everybody's on that triple line. And you get the one guy with that long sheet of paper with numbers and he doesn't speak English and he's holding up the whole line. You remember all those days, you know. So.
Yeah, and it's a day like this, Travers Day, that brings those memories flowing back so
exactly
vividly. Of course, we're visiting with Eric Bishop from Sunrise Stallions. They are the home to Derby and Preakness winner Big Brown, Frost Giant, and his full brother Heavy Breathing. And really what you've accomplished with the Stallions here, Eric, has been remarkable because you are really on a roll. You look what Big Brown has done since moving here. And, of course, the sire of Dortmund, who was a lot of people thought the horse to beat going into the Kentucky Derby this year that was won by American Pharoah. Frost Giant has been just absolutely spectacular, both with his offspring on the racetrack and in the sales ring. And then Heavy Breathing, here he comes, and look out, the next generation, so to speak.
We're hoping, you know, his foals are actually absolutely gorgeous. We'll put a couple of them in the October sale and hopefully showcase them, and hopefully people will want to spend a little money for them. Big Brown, we have one in the sale in August, and he went for 170, so that was a big push for us. Because the biggest problem with the New York Stallions is that they don't bring the kind of money at the sales that the Kentucky sired New York Reds are. So what we're trying to bring, that Kentucky quality in the Stallions to New York, and that was you know, big thing. That's why we aimed for Big Brown. We felt he was just given up on too early and kind of overlooked, you know. And so it was the only day we were rooting against Big Browns with the Breeders' Cup, because when we did a deal with Three Chimneys, there were a few kickers in there. So if any of any horses won in the Breeders' Cup, it was going to cost us a lot more money to get them here. So when Puka had that rough trip and
there's
she could
a million
actually
stories
won,
in
she
the
could
Naked
actually
City.
Won that, she could actually won that race. We were very happy she had a little rough going there. You know.
Only in this business can you actually root against yourself. It's unbelievable. But I was going to say, Eric, it's got to be a special place, especially now that you guys have Big Brown, because it all started here for Big Brown at Labor Day weekend back in 07, that huge turf win to break his
name. Oh, yeah, that was an incredible race that day. And at the time, I was associated with IEH, and I was building, I was the construction manager building the Equine Medical Center across from Belmont. And I've always been a follower of turf breeding, you know. And Mike Averill called me and he said, what do you think of the breeding on this horse? And I said, oh, I love the horse. I played the horse the first time out. And he said, do you think that horse can run on the dirt? I said, no way. He goes, I'm telling you what, that horse can run on anything. So he went after him and got him. And so, yeah, he was a spectacular horse, a specimen, a gorgeous specimen. You look at him, he's just... You know, he's just got everything you want in a stallion. And, you know, the owners were hoping, you know, after what happened in the Belmont, they could make a comeback in New York through his offspring. So they really wanted to get him here, and they did a great job, you know, working the deal together and getting him here. And I think it's great for New York. I mean, it's just we're finally pushing to, along with some other stallion entities that are trying to bring better quality stallions to New York to really – upgrade, you know, the type of horses we can produce here. And I think we're on the cusp of really moving forward and you know, competing with Kentucky, you know, so that's our goal.
Well, Jude and I are never going to forget where we were standing that day that we watched Big Brown win. We were here, and we can still remember the very same TV that we watched it on together, Jude, and we just looked at each other and said, what on earth was that?
Yeah, I don't think earth was the word I used.
Yeah, I'm keeping it clean for radio.
I know. There was definitely a bleep in there, but yeah, it was unbelievable. It was a spectacular performance on a course that really wasn't favoring speed at the time.
Well, even the allowance win at Gulfstream was everybody, you know, saw, you know, even though it was a muddy track, it was an off-the-turf type of deal. Just the way he went over the track, much like American Pharoah, the way he just floats over the track, you know, it's just, you know, it was a sight to see. You know, I get so many phone calls that day, like, this horse is the real deal, you know, so. And you see it. You see it in American Pharoah. He doesn't waste any of his energy, and his stride is so smooth, and it's really a pleasure to watch, you know, so. We're rooting for him today. Even if we had a Big Brown in a race going against him, we'd kind of be hoping to see him win. You know,
yes.
I mean, this is a great thing here that's happening today.
It really is. And of course, if you want to learn more about the Sunrise Stallions, Big Brown, Frost Giant, his full brother, Heavy Breathing, you can go to sunrisestallions.com. We would encourage you to do so. They've been a huge supporter of what we do here on radio for the past couple of years. And Eric, can't thank you enough for that support. We can't do this without the support of our sponsors, and you guys are right there. Thank you so much, and keep up the great work at Sunrise.
It's our pleasure. It's a great platform. I love you guys. Am I wrong?
Right or wrong?
Right or wrong? We're the best, right or wrong?
right or wrong?
It almost sounded like Zito there.
Oh, great stuff. Again, 3 to 6 Eastern time this afternoon, Sirius XM 93, affiliates across the country, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Don't forget to go to @HRN on Twitter. Our poll question today is, will American Pharoah win the Travers? And if not, who is the one that pulls off the upset? We want to hear from you, HRN Nation, so let us know. We're going to step away for a break. It is time for our Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington. We'll come back and visit with trainer Keith DeSormo as he gets set to look for the upset with his Jim Dandy winner, Texas Red. It is your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
This is the story of a thoroughbred who, without any reservation whatsoever, by name alone, conjures up images of greatness. The greatness and adulation of the American public that is reserved in the very front row of the heroes of sport, that horse was Seabiscuit. There are horses and there are horses, as the saying goes, and although all great horses are fast, not all fast horses are great. This horse is of very special significance because he was indeed one of a mere handful of the past 100 years who, through public adulation, became a true hero in the very ilk of the word itself. His story could well be the prototype of a Horatio Alger story, the consummate personification of the great American dream. In singular microcosm, he was what American racing is indeed all about. Seabiscuit was bred by the Wheatley Stable, foaled in 1933 at Claiborne Stud of Arthur B. Hancock. He was the son of Hardtack, out of Swing On by Wisbroom II. As a yearling, he was shipped to Hialeah, along with several other yearlings, by the redoubtable Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons. On January 19, 1935, he went to the post as a two-year-old for the first time in a claiming event, in which he finished a nondescript fourth while earning $50. 3 days later, he ran on another claimer over a distance of 3 furlongs and finished second, beaten 2 lengths by a horse called Clapping Jane. Either Clapping Jane or Seabiscuit could have been claimed from that field for $2,500. Clapping Jane never won again and wound up in Puerto Rico as a broodmare. It took 18 races for Seabiscuit to find a field of horses he could finally beat. That race was at Narragansett Park in Rhode Island for a purse of $750 on June 22, 1935. He then won the Watch Hill Claiming Stakes, named for the posh Rhode Island resort, for which he banked $2,800. He won 4 claiming races and was nearly claimed by Hirsch Jacobs in the process, but Jacobs felt he had highly suspicious knees. If only he knew what he had passed up at the time. Seabiscuit was sold in August of 1936 as a 3-year-old to Mr. Charles S. Howard for $7,500, and an association was born with that is legendary. The purchase was made on the advice of Silent Tom Smith, who, while looking over Seabiscuit, remarked there was, quote, a look of the Eagles, unquote, in him. It took Seabiscuit until the Brooklyn Handicap at the age of 4 to exhibit his championship mettle. From that race on, he was sensational. There were 3 occasions subsequently wherein he was defeated through the efforts of a jockey named Nick Wall. Wall got his mount through a hole left on the rail by the Biscuit's rider, Red Pollard, to win by a whisker in the Bowie Handicap at Pimlico in 1937. In the 1938 Santa Anita Handicap, Seabiscuit, carrying 130 pounds, had too much taken out of him by rider Georgie the Iceman Wolf, and Wall brought Stagehand from off the pace for a win. And in 1939, when Wall piloted Today to another win over the Biscuit. Seabiscuit finally realized C.S. Howard's fondest dream by winning the Santa Anita Handicap on his 3rd try in 1940 when Red Pollard again had the mount. That was a well-chronicled, well-remembered race in which 2 superb athletes, both in the twilight of careers, both horse and rider, went out in a blaze of glory before an adoring public. It was the way the script should end, the stuff of a Frank Capra film. Seabiscuit was a failure at stud, but he'd retired from the racing wars as the world's leading money-winning thoroughbred. From an initial purse of $50 in 1935 and a meteoric rise to success, he was the very fiber of the lore, legend, and mystique of thoroughbred racing.
And that is your Lexus Legends of the Turf for this morning. The late Pete Kulis with the story, brought to you each and every Saturday by the Lexus Store of Lexington. We're back with more Keith DeSormo coming up next on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Stay with us.
When the Lexus LS was introduced, it changed the industry. Decades of world's first and countless awards later, it's considered by many to be the finest vehicle in the world. So how do you improve upon the impossible standard you've set? Piece by methodical piece, scrutinize every aspect of the driving experience in search of new ways to surprise and inspire those inside. I'm Mike Penna, and I will tell you firsthand that you can say the same things about the people at the Lexus Store of Lexington. The people truly do make the difference. From the godfather Tony Attiano to their outstanding sales team, I promise that when you walk through their doors on the corner of New Circle and Liberty, you'll feel the same way. And if you're in the horse business, there's no reason to go anywhere else. The people at the Lexus store are horse people. They're actively involved with supporting the industry, and they want to be the dealership of the equine industry. So stop in and see them and find out for yourself what it means to be a part of the pursuit of perfection at the Lexus store of Lexington.
And they're off to New York. The premier state bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
Adina Springs added Macho Uno's best son, Mucho Macho Man, to their stallion roster for the recently completed 2015 breeding season. And with 95% of his mares getting in foal, he certainly took to his new job well. Mucho Macho Man earned $5.6 million on the track, culminating in his thrilling victory in the 2013 Breeders' Cup Classic over Will Take Charge and Declaration of War.
On the outside, Declaration of War, Will Take Charge, Mucho Macho Man just keeps on finding on the lead. Will Take Charge, a late drop. Oh, that's close. Mucho Macho Man, the more they asked, the more he gave.
Few horses can be multiple graded placed at 2, run in all 3 legs of the Triple Crown, and then go on to become a Breeders' Cup Classic winner as an older horse. And all this from a foal born June 15th. Visit AdinaStallions.com to learn more about Mucho Macho Man and all the Adina Stallions.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Yo guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They come toward the top of the stretch, and it is Japan who's all out on the lead. Here comes a Breeders' Cup winner after him. Texas Red has moved up alongside of Japan, and Frosted is coming with giant strides on the far outside as they come down to the 16th pole. It is Texas Red in front. Frosted runs at him. Texas Red, Frosted, a dramatic Jim Dandy, and Texas Red has won it. He beat Frosted in the Jim Dandy today. Japan was third and Fromento was fourth in a final time of 1 minute 48.77 seconds.
Texas Red getting the victory over Frosted in the Grade 2 Jim Dandy right here at Saratoga on August 1st. They get the rematch this afternoon in the 146th running of the Travers right around 5:46 Eastern. That is the post time for the Travers. You're going to hear it exclusively with us coast to coast and worldwide on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Our coverage beginning at 3 o'clock Eastern time. Of course, American Pharoah, the headliner, Triple Crown winner, looking to join Whirlaway as the only Triple Crown winners to win the Travers. We'll see if he can pull it off, and you'll hear it only with us coast to coast worldwide. You can visit horseracingradio.net for a complete listing of affiliates, SiriusXM channel information, and to listen online on your smartphone, your tablet, your computer, wherever you may be. You can tune in and hear American Pharoah's Run It History this afternoon right there with us. Keith DeSormo, the trainer of Texas Red, set to join us in just a couple of minutes. We are efforting Keith, so that gives us an opportunity to bring you the Ashford Stallion Showcase for this morning and a look at the top headlines from the Ashford Stallions, and they have been spectacular. This week, we're going to focus on a couple of different ones because Ashford has the top two second crop sires in America. Looking at Lucky is leading and was represented Friday here at the Spa by Good Luck Gus, who won the $250,000 Albany Stakes. Munnings is in the second position in that particular list, and he is the, well, if you look at him as the leading second crop sire by stakes winners, he has 10. That's impressive. And his leading performers are headlined by I'm a Chatterbox, winner of the Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks. And most recently, he was had a couple of horses finish second in a pair of Grade 1s here at the Spa, the Alabama and the Coaching Club American Oaks. Of course, I'm a Chatterbox right there. And take a look at those Ashford Stallions. Looking at Lucky and Munnings, the top two second crop sires in America. Those Stallions are unbelievable. And by the way, American Pharoah, when he finishes his career, will be an Ashford Stallion.
Yeah, you know, I'm a Chatterbox was great in that CCA Oaks. She was really good last time out. You and I covered the Alabama last week, and she actually won the CCA Oaks, disqualified a little controversially. Some people thought she maybe should have stayed up, but yeah, those they've come out of the box firing.
Coolmore's always so tough. I mean, those guys are sharp. They are sharp.
Well, they picked out American Pharoah. They did something right there because he's a Triple Crown winner, first in 37 years, and he's here at Saratoga. We talked about the crowd filing in. If you're just joining us, it's a beautiful day. Temperature is going to be in the low 80s, plenty of sunshine, low humidity. Saratoga has been blessed with unbelievable weather this entire meet, and to have a Travers Day like this with those kind of temperatures, these kind of track conditions, fast main track, firm turf, six Grade Ones. This day is going to be off the charts.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, I've spent probably roughly a month of days here, and there's been one off track. So it's just been spectacular. There's plenty of times when there's like one fast track.
Well, I mentioned we are waiting on Keith DeSormo. He is set to join us at this time, maybe just a few minutes later. So what we'll do, let's kind of switch things around a little bit here. I told our listeners at the top of the program, guys, that we had a chance, Jude, you and I, to catch up with Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert at the Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale across the street just a couple of weeks ago. And Bob told us some things that I'm not sure he's told too many people. It was really insightful into what he has gone through over the course of the Triple Crown. He looked back on the Haskell with American Pharoah and looked ahead to what might be for his Triple Crown winner. And here is a clip from that interview with trainer Bob Baffert. All right, so we were down at the Haskell a couple of weeks ago and watched that Tour de Force by American Pharoah. You said afterwards you were maybe more nervous for that race than any of the others. How come?
Oh, I was so nervous. You know what? I got there and everybody's like, you know, Josiah, and he had 146 friends there. He was washing out badly. And so he says, "You don't understand. We have to win this race." I go, "How about the last one?" You know, so, but you don't understand. All my friends are here, you know. So, so I can feel that pressure, you know, when everybody, when the party gets big like that, you know, like when my family shows up, it's like everybody's like, you start feeling the heat. So, I had the governor coming in for it. But, you know, we got to hang out with Bill Murray for a little bit, which is pretty cool.
How cool was that?
And his rider's up was, that was epic.
Yeah, I
love that, you know, because yeah. I was talking to him right before, and I asked him, are you working on your little rider's up? Oh, yeah. He said, matter of fact, I went back and watched all their, you know, he did his homework. But he was there with his son Lincoln, nice kid, and so it was really, you know, and the fans there at Monmouth Park, you know, you could tell they couldn't get enough of the horse. It's so funny that when the horse came in, I wasn't sure. I saw the horse come in. I said, "Where is he? I don't hear anything." But everybody was quiet because they all have their videoing with their
yes.
phones. It gets really quiet when he comes in, so which is a good thing, you know. But because he can get, as you saw a couple of days before, he spooked from some guy running his flip-flops behind him or something like that. So, because he is very sensitive to sound. That's why he sort of lost it a little bit in the walking up to the Derby. People were running around him. He doesn't like that. You know?
Yeah.
So. But since then, he's been a real cool customer.
He was so cool in the paddock. I mean, he was walking around there like Old Blue. He's like, nothing really bothers him. He's such a cool horse.
Well, the thing is, he's got the earplug, see? But if you take him out, you know, he gets pretty aggressive. But if the lungs are in, he's real quiet. So sometimes, like, my wife Jill said, "Well, how does he look?" Well, really cool and quiet, but you know, you want to see a little bit more. That's him. But if you took the earplugs out, but then I was watching him come up to the gate, and that's when he starts to blow up. And and whenever he just comes up there, and before he goes in, he always looks up at the, he stops and looks at the around the grandstand, and he just has a presence, you know, to him. But I was really, really nervous right before, you know. But once I saw him in the warm-up, they showed him going to the gate. Like, he was all puffed up, and I thought, you know, just get away from the gate, clean, get him running. And I knew competitive edge was going to be really tough to early. So that he had me really always watch out for those Fletcher horses. They're fast.
Yeah. And you had a perfect trip. I mean, you had to be really happy where Victor was all the way.
Yeah, I was worried about the little gray horse that he might, you know, like, don't let him get in front of you and, you know, get you in a pinch. But Victor rides his horse with so much confidence that I can tell Victor during this whole, when he comes out to the paddock, even to ride him in the Triple Crown, I kept telling him, "Look at him. Really, there's nothing for you to be nervous about. If I don't have him ready, it doesn't matter how you ride him. I think he's ready, he looks sharp." And and when he got on him in the paddock, he looked down when he felt got on him. He looked up at him and he goes, "Hey." I can feel, they know. When they get on him, they go, "Oh, wait a minute."
Yeah.
You know, like, "Hey, boy, wake up." But they can tell. But he was just, he's just always been... But in the paddock with his, if you take those earplugs out, he's a different animal.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He's like, he's always like.
Is he training him too?
He doesn't leave the stall without him in there. He's just a very, he'll come out prancing if you don't have him on. But if you put him in, he's like quiet. He's just like focused. But he's such a kind, sweet animal that everybody just, you can't believe how sweet he is. He has really spoiled us. You know, he's taken us to a different level. And, you know, we're going to have to need some serious group therapy when he's gone. Like, group, you know, to talk, you know, like, you know, it's going to be like, it's going to be really sad to see him leave.
Yeah. How about little Bodie? How's he going to handle it? Has he been attached
to
him?
This horse is really really got him into racing. You know, he really, I can see he's getting the bug now, which I don't know if it's a good thing, but once it gets in your system, you're a lifer. But he really, he's grown up a lot this last, 4 or 5 months, and he's acting totally, he gets really nervous. I mean, he's really nervous. And but afterwards, you can tell that he gets on the, he was telling me after the Derby, all the horses that won the Derby and the Triple Crown, and he gets on YouTube now and he's checking everything out and he's getting stats, he's getting everything, and so he realizes that, you know, after going through Bodemeister, those beats were really hard on him. They scarred him a little bit. So then when Painter came along, and I remember he won the Haskell, he said, you know, Dad, why don't you name that one Bodemeister? You know, so he's better. But he's grown up a lot. And, you know, he basically grown up on television there watching him grow up. But you know, I'm just sad that, you know, my parents turned around, because they used to adore him. My mother just loved seeing him. That's why, you know, Jill said, you know, you're putting him on television too much. I said, it's not that I was trying to just have him on. My mother wanted to see him because they were down in Arizona. And so if I didn't have him on there, she'd say, I didn't see my baby. Why don't you put him on there? So,
yeah.
And that's why it's been very emotional, because I think about them, you know, that they would have loved to enjoy this, you know, with me. So it's too bad they weren't here.
Hall of Famer Bob Baffert sharing some great insight with us at the Fasic Kitchen Saratoga sale just a couple of weeks ago. And Jude, you can listen to Bob tell those kind of stories all day long when he starts talking about what's happened with his son Bodie and how this run has affected him and how it's affected Bob Baffert as a person and why it's been so emotional for him. Really great stuff from Bob.
Yeah, it was such a nice surprise for us too, because he saw the empty headset and he just sat down at the table and started talking, and it was like a conversation you'd have at the dinner table or whatever. We just kept shooting the breeze, and he's such an entertaining guy anyway, so it was a really big treat for us.
Yeah, that was only about a 6-minute piece from that interview. The entire interview is just about 25 minutes long, and the entire thing is posted on our website at horseracingradio.net. If you want to go back and listen to the entire interview with Bob Baffert, there were some other great things in there, obviously, as well, but we didn't have time for them here this morning. And I loved his line in the beginning, Big A, when he talked about being at the Haskell and Ahmed Zayat, the owner, coming into the paddock and how he was kind of washing out a little bit and he was very nervous. And he looked at Bob and he said, we have to win this race, because he had so many of his friends there. And Bob looked at him and said, well, how about the last one? Didn't we have to win that one? You know, but it was great.
I love how Bob has been and handled everything the last 6 months. Because if you think back to 15, and he's admitted this, 15 or 16 years ago, it was a different Bob Baffert. And the thing about this game and what makes it the greatest game on earth is you could be at the highest level. It will find a way to humble you. Day in and day out, this game will find ways to humble you. There's one way to win. There's a million and one ways to lose. And he's lost a lot of different ways. You know, you just go back to that real quiet Belmont. He figured out how to win this time. And the beginning of that piece, he talks about the pressure and about having his friends. This horse is being looked at as a savior for this game. Can you just imagine that pressure saddling this horse? And, you know, a lot of people, including myself, didn't think he'd ever see a racetrack after winning the Triple Crown. And he has, and it, as long as things keep going well, it sounds like he's going to continue to see racetracks at least through the end of this year. And just the way he's handled it, the immense pressure that he's under as a savior for this sport, and, you know, it's kudos to the job Baffert has done.
Yeah, and that was one part of that interview that if you go back and listen to the entire thing, you'll hear it, where he talks about the tough beats that he's had throughout his career. And he looks back on Cavaneer, which is one that really sticks with him. And Jude, he looked at you when he started talking about Cavaneer, because you actually beat Cavaneer with a horse you trained a couple of times out in California.
Yeah, Ready to Order. He was a really fantastic horse that I was super proud of. We bred him, I foaled him, I broke him, I trained him, and he beat Cavaneer twice, and Bob kind of hated Ready to Order, and he brought that up unsolicited. But there was nobody rooting harder for Cavaneer, except maybe Bob Baffert when he ran the Derby, because I wanted him to win so I could say, well, I beat the Derby winner twice. And unfortunately, Ready to Order had stepped on a shoe training for a Santa Anita Derby prep, and so I had to stop on him. But he later on, he was a Derby winner himself. He won the Pomona Derby, not quite the Kentucky Derby, but he won several stakes and about 330,000 or something. He's a pretty nice cowbred.
All right, let me ask you guys this question. We have to get to a break here in just a minute or two, but I want to throw this out there. After the Haskell, so much of the focus every single day in this sport, social media, on the television, on the radio, whatever it was that we were listening to, was on where American Pharoah was going to go next. Would he come to the Travers? And we were here at Saratoga, so we heard it every single day here at Saratoga. Well, he ends up coming here. He was kind of on the fence. There was a lot of talk that Bob Baffert didn't want to come because his record in the Travers isn't very good. But yet Ahmed Zayat wanted to be here. So now they show up, right? Is that a negative or is it a positive that they finally decided to come after all that debate back and forth? Yes, no, maybe. Boom, and now they do show up here. Negative, positive. JT, what is it?
I don't think it's either one, and I think the debate was strictly waged in the media. It really didn't have anything to do with the plans for the horse. And having had a conversation with Bob last week in Del Mar, at his barn, I think the main focus Bob has is on the horse, and if the horse is doing well, then he's not opposed to running him. And so, a lot of people just like to talk about, you know, what's going to happen, and we all know that nobody can predict the future, not even the pontiff. So you just have to go with it. And Bob told me last Friday, a week ago Friday, that the horse had to show him something when he breezed him, and that was going to be the final decision. He didn't feel like he had to run him here, but if the horse showed him that he was ready, willing, and able to run at the level that he's capable of running, that he, you know, was going to bring him.
Yeah, which is consistent with what he told us later on in that interview at Phase of Tipton, where he said, I'm going to let the horse take me there. So, and he did. I mean, that breeze last time out at Del Mar was absolutely sensational. He knew the horse was on go. That's what he needed to see if he was going to show up here, and he saw it.
See, to me, when Bob mentioned that he wanted to keep him against three-year-olds, and Ahmed Zayat very quickly dismissed the PA Derby, the Pennsylvania Derby at Parks, it was a no-brainer for me, yet it still took so long to make the decision. I don't think Bob wanted to bring him here. And I think he looked for any little reason not to come. I just think the horse is doing so well that he kept his word and he brought him here. But Bob's human. I have to think that record, I read a stat somewhere last week, going past a mile here at Saratoga in the last 10 years, he's 2-for-30. That's a pretty negative number for a guy that wins at 23% every, you know what I mean? That's a bad number. And he hasn't had a lot of success. He's owned the Haskell. He's won just one Travers with a horse that I would have. Gary Stevens just walked in here. Point Given is one of the best horses I've ever seen. That's what it took for Bob Baffert to win his only Travers. So it's one of the reasons I'm a little skeptical today.
And this may be one of the best horses anybody's ever seen as well.
Right.
So keep that in mind. The 146 Travers this afternoon, 5:46 Eastern. Our coverage, 3 to 6 Eastern here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Again, it's going to come your way right here, Sirius XM, Channel 93. You can tune in worldwide on our internet with our live streaming, which you can listen to on your smartphone, your tablet, on your computer, wherever you may be. You go to our website, you click the Listen Live button, and you can listen anywhere in the world, and you can listen on terrestrial affiliates across the country as well. Visit our website to find a complete listing and find a station near you. We're going to get to a break. We'll come back at you set for hour number two. Hall of Fame jockey Gary Stevens is going to be with us in just about 5 minutes from right now. We'll talk to him. We'll do it next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
Earn a lifetime breeding in Danza, a dominant Grade 1 winner and a leading three-year-old of his generation. Half-brother to Grade 1 winner Majestic Harbor, Danza defeated top three-year-olds such as Bayern, Strong Mandate, and Commissioner.
Danza, in a sparkling performance, is making short work of the Arkansas Derby field. Danza is the boss as he wins by five.
To learn how easy it is to earn your lifetime breeding, contact Spendthrift Farm today.
There are millions of reasons to get involved in the fastest growing promotion in horse racing and the third richest thoroughbred event in the United States, the Daily Racing Form NTRA National Handicapping Championship. Whether it's online or on track, start playing today for $2.5 million in prize money and an Eclipse Award as Horse Player of the Year. Join the DRF NHC Tour today and start planning your trip to NHC in Las Vegas. Go to nhctour.com for details.
I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair strips. FlairStrips.com.
The Breeders' Cup runs here.
Bayern, toast of New York, California Chrome. Bayern, toast of New York. Bayern has won it. Bayern got there by a head under Martin Garcia over toast of New York. It's untappable in front. Untappable the leader. Don't tell Sophia flying on the outside. Untappable gonna get there. Untappable has won it. Judy the Beauty sticks her neck out, goes for the wire. On the outside, Better Lucky's catching. Better Lucky, Judy the Beauty. Judy the Beauty, one and a head and eight thrillers. Main sequence finishing best of all, late run from Twilight Eclipse. But it is main sequence to score. Main sequence is one and a head.
The Breeders' Cup, October 30th and 31st. Exclusively here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by Cal Density. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information and to listen live.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
Baron Pontiff and the Big A back with you at Saratoga. Getting ready for the 146 Travers this afternoon. You're going to hear it exclusively with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Really busy first half of the program. Keith DeSormo actually just sent a text, and he said to call him in a little bit. So we'll catch up with Keith in the second half of the program. We'll talk to him about Jim Dandy winner Texas Red. Also going to be joined right off the bat at 9 o'clock Eastern by Hall of Fame jockey Gary Stevens, who rides Tail of Verve. He's won the Travers a couple of times. It's actually the 20-year anniversary of his first win with Thunder Gulch, so we'll look back on those moments with the Hall of Famer. Tim Wilkin from the Albany Times-Union is going to be with us later in the second half of the program, and then again, Keith DeSormo will join us at some point in hour number two as well. So a very busy show coming up next. Stay with us. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We're going to pause 10 seconds for station identification.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Power.
And he's pulling away, and Frosted has won the Wood Memorial.
Passion.
Holding off Lee as they come down to the finish. Constitution of the Dawn.
Performance.
Ring Weekend and Drayton Van Dyke up to win the Kilrow.
Gainsway Stallion Tappet has once again been sensational in 2015. The Champion Sire is North America's leading sire this year, represented by four 2015 Grade 1 winners. Wood Memorial winner Frosted, Ring Weekend, who scored in the Frank E. Kilroe Mile, Don Handicap winner Constitution, and Untappable winner of the Apple Blossom at Oaklawn. Overall, Tappet has sired 17 Lifetime Grade 1 winners, 39 Graded Stakes winners, 11 millionaires, and 6 champions. Tappet is also ranked number 1 in the sales ring in both North America and Europe, with 2015 yearlings averaging more than 952,000. Tappet, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
And they're off to New York. The premier state bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what's going on in the insurance world?
Mike, one of the best policies we sell is a homeowner's policy. It provides property coverage for the home and contents and also personal legal liability protection against bodily injury or property damage caused by the insured. The homeowner's policy, however, is not a business policy and should not be relied upon for business activities.
Do some people think there is business coverage in the homeowner's policy?
Yes. Some horse owners, for example, think there is liability protection on their homeowner's policy against bodily injury or property damage caused by their racing or breeding stock. The horse owner should actually carry a separate equine owner's liability policy to protect against horse ownership exposures.
Thanks for clearing that up, Joe. For your equine, farm, personal, and business insurance, call Joe Brown Nicholson at Nicholson Insurance Agency, 859-224-7080, or visit nicholsoninsurance.com. You gotta know Joe.
Flatter, a graded son of AP Indy, continues to rank among leading sires. The sire of graded stakes horses in every crop, he consistently has runners at the highest level.
Upstart is pulling away, impressively, to win the Holy Bowl.
Colby's back. Colby's back is back. Wins it for Gary Stevens.
Powerful on the track and fashionable in the sales room, Flatter is from a top sire family. Flatter at Claiborne Farm.
This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Saratoga. For more than 150 years, peculiar things have been happening here. Inexplicable things. Some may even say eerie things. Now, the story I'm about to tell may seem a bit like a far-fetched ghost story, but if you're going to race on these hallowed grounds, there's a few things you need to know. The great Man-O-War started 21 times. He lost just once, here, to a horse named Upset. Spooky. Strange. Triple Crown winner Gallant Fox looked invincible in the 1930 Travers, but nobody told that 100-1 long shot, Jim Dandy. Then there was Big Red.
Onion on the outside, Secretariat on the rail. An eighth of a mile to the finish. The leaders hadn't hit stride for stride. Secretariat and Onion. Onion has the lead by a head. Secretariat on the inside past the 16th ball. It's Onion in front by a head.
Weird. Even Affirmed couldn't avoid the mysterious things that seem to occur here.
In the stretch, Affirmed and Alidar on the outside. Affirmed on the inside, Nasty and Bold third down along the rail, but Affirmed continues to maintain control of the pace. It's Affirmed, and he has it by a length and a half. Alidar driving, can't catch him on the outside. Nasty and Bold is there.
Oh, sure, he finished first. Only to be disqualified. You see, it doesn't matter how good you are when you come here. It only matters that you can leave here without seeing your name etched for all eternity in the graveyard of champions. Welcome to Saratoga and the 146th Traverse Stakes.
All American Pharaoh trying to avoid seeing his name in that graveyard of champions. We'll see if he can avoid that this afternoon when he goes postward in the 146th Traverse. He will face nine other rivals. Should be a good one. 546 Eastern is the post. One horse hoping to make sure that American Pharaoh ends up in the graveyard of champions and finds his name etched alongside Man of War and Secretariat and Gallant Fox and Affirmed is Tale of Verve, who will be ridden by Hall of Famer Gary Stevens. Gary has won more than 5,000 races in his illustrious career. He's won the Travers on two different occasions, first in 1995 with Thunder Gulch, and he also won it in 2001 with Point Given, trained by who else? Hall of Famer Bob Baffert. And he's going to join us here momentarily, but do want to welcome everybody back to the program here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Felt, Anthony Stabile, our producer, Sean C., and we are happy to have you with us on this Travers Day live from Saratoga Springs, New York. Gorgeous day. Temperature is going to be in the low 80s, plenty of sunshine, fast main track, and a firm turf. Gary Stevens, welcome to the program, my friend. Happy to have you on board.
Oh, thank you, guys. It's great to be here. A different atmosphere than I've ever experienced on any day. It's not Derby Day. It's not Breeders' Cup Day. It's Travers Day, and this is a different Travers Day than I've ever seen before. It's 6 o'clock this morning trying to get in here. This is mayhem, but it's fun.
Can you believe it's been 20 years since Thunder Gulch?
It doesn't seem like that. It seems like... believe it or not, just yesterday, he reared up at the start. I can see it in my mind. I'm like, oh, no. And he wound up winning as easy as he'd ever won a race. And that memory will never leave me.
Yeah, that memory, the memory of Point Given being here in 2001. Anthony said earlier, maybe the best horse he's ever seen, probably one of the best you've ever sat on, I would imagine.
Yeah, definitely one of the best I've ever sat on. But, this horse, American Pharoah, running today, it's going to be exciting. You know, I heard what you said that, you know, I'm going to try and make sure that American Pharoah's name is etched in there with some great ones that have got beat at the Graveyard of Champions. But you guys see these sunglasses? They're not rose-colored. They're, like, just regular colored. It's going to take something unforeseen, I think, you know, for this horse not to put on another show today.
Well, he's captured the hearts and minds of a lot of people, and it's been crazy here. You weren't here yesterday, but there were, like, 15,000 people here to watch a gallop. And I've been on the racetrack a long time, maybe even as long as you, and I've never seen that before. I mean, to have that many people come out, more people than go to Belmont on a stakes-laden Saturday to watch a horse gallop 1 mile, I mean, it's crazy.
No, I mean, I saw the crowd at Monmouth Park. They reported like 5,000 people, and they said it's going to gallop here at Saratoga, and they're expecting, you know, another 5,000 or something. There's no way. And I landed at 4:30 yesterday, come home, had dinner, and watched the news last night, and I'm like, really? There's like 15,000-20,000 people here, like you said, to watch a horse gallop a mile, and it was a strong gallop, and he looked phenomenal out there, and that's what I've been seeing. His workout on Sunday morning, I was out working a maiden, a pretty well-bred maiden for Mike Stidham in company, and we were going to the pole, and I saw American Pharoah about a 16th of a mile in front of me, and I told the assistant, I said, this is not going to be good. He said, where's he going to break off, do you think? I said, about the 4.5. I'm going to be a 16th of a mile in front of him, and I'm going to be American Pharoah's breakfast. And I was, and he went flying by me at the finish line, and I'm just watching his stride and everything, and he galloped out a mile in 136 and changed, pulled up a mile in 136. So he's doing well. He's been fun to watch training out there. But again, they got to lead him over, and he's got to run a mile and a quarter one more time today.
Mike mentioned your two Travers, one is Thunder Gulch and Point Given. And if you think back to the last 20 or 25 years, both of those horses put together pretty amazing three-year-old campaigns. Thunder Gulch, of course, Derby, Belmont, Travers win, third in the Preakness. Point Given, of course, you know, I'm one of the biggest Point Given fans there is. And he had a run of Preakness, Belmont, Haskell, Travers that really in the last 15 years has been unparalleled until now. So a guy like you who was aboard both of those horses, what Farrow has accomplished has to really resonate with you more so than a lot of other people.
Well, it does. And, you know, going through it with so many horses, you know, Thunder Gulch was only 3/4 of a length from winning a Triple Crown. People forget that. And he was the father of Point Given, one of the greatest horses I've ridden. And he did something that no Triple Crown winner had ever done. He went and after the Belmont Stakes, won the Swaps. Seattle Slough got beat in the Swaps and then went on and won the Haskell Travers. So he was a good horse, strong horse. And, you know, he was undefeated after the Belmont. And when he couldn't win the Triple Crown, when Point Given couldn't win the Triple Crown, I didn't know if it would ever be done. And I got news for you. He beat Firing Line a half a length in the Derby, and Firing Line ran huge, didn't switch leads. I don't think Point Given or American Pharoah fired in the Kentucky Derby, and he still won it. Just watched a replay of it, of the Derby about a half hour ago, and it was an aerial shot. And Victor was getting after him at the 3/8 pole, and we haven't seen him move on this horse since the Kentucky Derby. I mean, he's been winning with everybody knows the ease that he's doing it with, and I'm not so sure that he hasn't stepped forward with every race since the Kentucky Derby. I think that race made the man out of him that we're seeing right now.
Gary, is there some truth to that reputation that Saratoga has as the graveyard of champions? I mean, obviously, we've seen some of the greatest horses of all time go down to defeat here. Man of War, Secretariat, Gallant Fox. I mean, the list goes on and on. Affirm, who we know won but was disqualified in his Travers Stakes. But is there some truth to that? And if so, why? Why here?
This track, I mean, they call Belmont the Big Sandy, and this thing can get deeper than Belmont Park. It can become very testing. But I think if I was Bob Baffert, the thing that would have worried me the most coming up here from California would be if we got one of those hot, sticky, upstate New York summer days. I mean, it can knock a horse out. And I've had that happen myself. I've come in here and it's been hot. I'm knocked out. The horse washes out before the race and your history. Well, we've had an extremely hot summer in Del Mar, very humid, very East Coast typical, and it's been unusual for us out there. And I'm reading quotes from Bob this morning. I got up this morning, it was 55 degrees, and I didn't bring enough clothes. So the horses love this stuff, and I know that Bob probably let out a sigh of relief when he came up here, and the weather's spectacular right now. It's going to be, you know, in the mid-80s today, but it didn't feel like any humidity, not like we've been getting on the West Coast. So I think that's all positive for American Pharoah.
I'd let you borrow some, but I don't think we're the same size.
You fit two of him in your shirt. Not that I should talk. I think Dallas made a great choice getting Gary Stevens to ride his horse today. Now, I know I'm a little prejudiced because I used to love to have you on my horses, but that you just seem to fit that horse so well because of your great clock and the timing that you have. And I mean, I can see you flying at the finish. It's like a putt. You get it close and hope it falls in. But, I mean, I think you're the perfect rider for that horse.
Believe it or not, with his flop, with Televerse flop in the Belmont Stakes, there was two excuses. And I went down and I saw Dallas early this morning, like about 6:15 we talked. And he said the horse is doing great. You know, he came back after the Belmont, had a ton of sand in his chest. But I don't think Dallas had really evaluated the Belmont Stakes. I said, Dallas, I rode a bad race. I said, we moved into the backstretch, and they were walking. American Pharoah was, I mean, he was in a Sunday gallop. And Mike Smith was inside of me, and I actually looked over at Mike at the mile pole. We had a mile left, and I said, the heck with this. I said, I'm going. And I pulled the trigger on it. I wanted to get the pace going a little bit. Well, it went for about a 16th of a mile, and then I was back to last place again, and my race was over with. So I told Dallas, I said, look, I'm going to sit and make one run with him. We know I'm going to just save ground and you know, let him run the last 3/8 of a mile and pick up whatever broken piece as there are. And they came back about an hour later, and he said, man, I just watched what you said. And he said he did try into Belmont. He said, do me a favor. He said, just sit back there, sing a song, think about something else. And I started laughing. I said, you got it, boss. So there's no secrets. That's what I'm going to be doing. And he'll come flying. But we'll just see if it happens to be enough.
Well, he's got a huge late kick. There's no doubt about that. Talking about tail and verve, of course. On paper, American Pharoah seems to be the controlling speed again in the Traverse Stakes here. Is there some concern about that, that maybe he doesn't get enough pressure on the front end and you're just at the mercy of the pace?
Yeah, I mean, on a teleconference call earlier in the week, they were talking about Beholder and the trip I got in the Pacific Classic. They went 22 and change up front. I'm seeing Byron being hooked by a long shot in the race, and I said, that's what I need in here is a 22 and change, 45. And I said, but that's not going to happen. If there was that kind of speed in the race, which there's not, American Pharoah's like Beholder. Victor will just take him back and lay third. He doesn't have to be in front, but he is the controlling speed. But if something, you know, I came in here riding Point Given, who was a heavy favorite, and Thunder Gulch was a heavy favorite. Thunder Gulch blew the start. I mean, literally reared up at the start. And I had a half a heart attack. But before I got into the first turn, I knew I was sitting on a winner. That's the way he was traveling. So, you know, a stumble, of something goes amiss. This horse is tactical. He can do it. That's the scary part. He can do with him what he wants.
Gary Stevens here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, the Hall of Famer, looking to win his third Traverse Stakes this afternoon. And if he does it, he'll have to upset the Triple Crown winner here at Saratoga. But we know that's been done before, Gary. So
it's been done before, and I'm coming out to do a job. I'm a hired gun this afternoon. That's how I'm approaching it. But if it doesn't happen, I'll be rooting for the champ. If I'm back there flailing or whatever, I'm going to go out and do my job and try and win this thing. But if I don't do it, I'm rooting for the Pharoah.
Nobody better than Gary Stevens. And, Gary, can't thank you enough for spending a little time. You're always very gracious with your time. Really do appreciate it. And thanks so much, my friend. Safe trip today.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Enjoy the day.
All right. Gary Stevens here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We're going to go ahead and get to a quick commercial break. We'll come back with our Blood Horse News update and then get to Tim Wilkin from the Albany Times Union. Stay tuned. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, celebrating 10 years of award-winning coverage.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Airdrie Stud's Majestic Perfection continues to be one of the hottest young stallions in America. His first crop three-year-olds include Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks and Ashland Stakes winner Lovely Maria, Graded Stakes winner Hebronville, and the lightning-fast multiple stakes winner Majestic Affair. The number one sire in his crop by 2015 Graded Stakes winners, Stakes winners to starters, and average earnings per starter, Majestic Perfection also offers a higher return on investment in the yearling ring than any other stallion in his crop. Airdrie Stud's Majestic Perfection. Think about it.
Every morning in Maryland, a new day dawns on more than 16,000 horse farms. From the mountains to the ocean and all along the Chesapeake Bay, new life surges from paddock to field to track, energizing the O-line state's grandest sport. Maryland, we grow horses.
To learn more about racing and breeding in Maryland, visit MarylandThoroughbred.com.
Join us for the Kentucky Sire Stakes at the historic Red Mile in Lexington, Kentucky. The Kentucky Sire Stakes is the culmination of a month-long series of preliminary races for 2 and 3-year-old pacers and trotters with total purses of over $1.6 million. Watch some of the finest standardbred horses, drivers, and owners compete in one of the richest finals in North America. First post is 7 p.m. on August 9th, 20th, and 30th at the Red Mile. For more information, visit khrc.ky.gov or call 888-KY-BREDS.
Ramsey Farms, Real Solution.
As they come down to the line, Real Solution is the winner.
A two-time Grade 1 winning millionaire, Real Solution joins his sire, top stallion Kitten's Joy, at Ramsey Farm.
Real Solution, the Apache, in a battle that's come down to a bomb.
Real Solution won both the Manhattan and Arlington Million, an earner of $1.3 million and a son of leading sire Kitten's Joy. Real Solution, standing for 12,500 at Ramsey Farm. Where is the thoroughbred industry growing and thriving? In the Midwest and Southwest, and only American Racehorse magazine covers Middle America from top to bottom. Each issue contains news from Oklahoma, Indiana, Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, and more, with features you won't find in any other publication. If you're a stallion owner or equine services provider looking for an affordable way to reach more than 6,000 readers, American Racehorse can help. Get a free sample issue at AmericanRacehorse.com. It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
On the outside, Big John B. Flamboyant joins the fray late as well. Ganesh on the inside, as she loves sugar between them. Big John B. grandstand side, as she loves sugar. Big John B. Big John B. to win it. Big John B. and Rafael Bejarano have won it.
Big John B. successfully defended his title in the Grade 2 Del Mar Handicap last Saturday. The son of Darley Stallion Hard Spun stormed home to win by a length and a half, recording his 14th lifetime victory. And that performance makes Big John B. your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Hard Spun has a higher percentage of greatest stakes winners from starters than Kitten's Joy, Scat Daddy, Malibu Moon, and Curlin. And his six greatest stakes winners in 2015 are tied at the top with Warfront and Spitestown. Other top runners by Hard Spun include Eclipse Champion 3-year-old Philly Questing, along with Grade 1 winners Zoe Impressive, Wicked Strong, Hardest Core, and Hard Not to Like. To learn more about Hard Spun and all the Darley Stallions, simply visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Chantel Sutherland Cruz, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Point given. A menacing second as the field comes to the quarter pole. Dollarbell and AP Valentine both in with a chance. Free of Love is down toward the inside, a week in fifth. As the field turns for home, it is E. Dubai in a full-out drive to hold off Point Given. Those two will come to the eighth pole together. It's Miff and Tuck with the furlongs to go. AP Valentine and Dollarbell. It is Point Given who has rested a narrow lead. E. Dubai fights on but grudgingly gives way to Point Given. Point Given pulling away to win through the stretch by three. And no doubt about it, the king of the three-year-olds in North America today. That was E. Dubai and Dollarbell.
Tom Durkin bringing them home in the 2001 renewal of the Traverse Stakes. Point Given getting the victory. You just heard from his jockey, Hall of Famer Gary Stevens. Of course, he was trained by Hall of Famer Bob Baffert. That is the lone win in the Traverse for Bob. Of course, last year he had Byron up here and things didn't go so well. Last year he's hoping for better with his Triple Crown winner, American Pharoah, later today. Happy to have you back with us on the Equine Forum right here on HRRN, your exclusive radio home for the Travers and for the Breeders' Cup World Championships, October 30th and 31st at Keeneland. Of course, our Travers coverage brought to you by Sunrise Stallions this afternoon, and all that Breeders' Cup coverage Friday and Saturday presented by our friends at Cal Density. You can visit caldensity.com to learn more. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, the Big A, Anthony Stabile, our producer Sean C., Tim Wilkin from the Albany Times Union is going to join us here momentarily, but do want to get to this here for a second, because, you know, you don't get to be America's leading stud farm for the 13th time in 30 years without producing champions, Grade 1 winners, and Derby contenders. And the Lanes End Stallions, well, they've done just that with the likes of Candy Ride's Shared Belief, Curlin, Stellar Wind, Quality Roads, Hootenanny, Lemon Drop Kids, It's a Knockout, and City Zips Day at the Spa. To learn more about breeding opportunities with Lanes End, simply give them a call at 859-873-7300, or you can visit lanesend.com. We threw out a poll question in the first half of the program. You can tweet to us at HRRN. And the poll question was pretty simple. Does American Pharoah win the Travers Stakes this afternoon? Yes or no? If you do say no, we want to know who you think pulls off the upset. And Chauncey, I think we have more than a few responses on there.
Yeah, I've got a few here. Ralph Silver at Hard Asset Times says Saratoga is the graveyard of favorites. Going to be unhappy when Keen Ice runs them down. Looking a little up, it's kind of hard to see with the sunshine, and so I'm doing my best here. American Pharoah is in a league of his own. He will reign over the 2015 Travers, says Pretty Paper. And William Payne says, against this field today, no one is going to stop Saratoga. on the March to Immortality in 63 days. Farrah White's The Champ's Got This. So, you know, it's going pretty heavily towards American Pharoah, judging by our Twitter poll of the day.
All right, there you go. At HRRN on Twitter, the way to get in on that poll. We'll go ahead and try to update you one more time before we wrap things up at 10 o'clock Eastern. Been a very busy show. If you missed any portion of this Travers Day edition live from Saratoga, you can go back and listen to a podcast at horseracingradio.net. It will be up shortly after we finish at 10 o'clock Eastern time. And one interview that you'll want to make sure that you tune into right now live and on podcast is our good friend Tim Wilkin with the Albany Times Union. He has been with us the past several years, and I think we missed last year, Timmy.
We missed last year. You guys didn't bring up the check. But I was looking at your promo for today's show, and I saw your guest list. Bob Baffert, Keith DeSormo, Gary Stevens, and me. What was wrong with that picture?
Well, you remember Sesame Street? Which of these things are not like the other? You were the other.
Absolutely. I mean, I must be the player to be named later.
Happy Travers Day.
Hey, happy Travers Day to you guys. I love coming on with you guys. You're good. You do a great job.
No, thank you. And you do as well with the Albany Times Union. And we'll encourage people to go read your pieces, not just here for the Travers, but all year long. Because, look, Timmy, we see you all over the country. It's not just here in Saratoga. You're making your trips to the Triple Crown, to the Breeders' Cup, and all the races in between.
Yeah, I was down to Haskell and watching the Tour de Force named American Pharoah. And you know, you guys were here yesterday. You saw what he attracted here yesterday. There must have been they said it was estimated crowd of 15,000. I think it was closer to 20, because I thought there were 5,000 people on the backstretch. And kudos to Naira for screwing that up. I mean, there were too many people out there. Too many people were able to get back to the backstretch that didn't belong out there. And with other horses being out there, you know, doing their morning routines, they really kind of, they were lucky that no one got hurt.
Yeah. How is that even possible?
You got me. I mean, I was told that the Nelson Avenue backstretch gate, people were just flowing in like they were going to a ball game. And that's just can't happen.
No, but I know that every time we've tried to get back there, we've been checked with our passes.
Yeah.
You would think that on a big day like that, when the Pharoah is going to be here, that people would be checked quite heavily.
Well, maybe there was someone that was getting ready to give everyone a Toys R Us coupon. I don't want to mention no names.
Tim Wilkin with the Albany Times Union. Always fun.
Currently.
Yeah, right. Right, yeah.
Maybe former. I'll be watching the Travers from the Racino.
They were advertising that earlier this week in the off-track betting facility in Albany.
There's a lot of viewing parties, I guess, downtown Saratoga, because, you know, frankly, with 50,000 cap, there's a lot of people that I think that would normally come to the Travers every year, buy their ticket, and just come on in. You know, they're shut out. And, you know, I get why Naira's capping it at 50, but I think they could get more in here. They had 60,000 here when Point Given ran. They had 66,000 in 2003 when they thought Funnyside and Empire Maker were going to run. Neither of them ran. I mean, and I was here for both of them, and it didn't seem bad. I mean, I guess they're erring on the side of caution, but I think they could get more in here. But it's going to be an electric day, and Naira really should be happy with everything that's going on, because look at the weather. They're going to have a full house. I mean, the nations will be watching Saratoga today.
Let me ask you this question. Do you like the idea of a cap at...
I mean, I don't know. If someone can't get in here, maybe they say, well, the heck with horse racing. They don't want me? Fine, I won't go. I think they should let everybody in that wants to come in, because there's more room here. I mean, you're not going to get ridiculous. They wouldn't have got 100,000 people here for the Travers. But, you know, they could have got more than 50.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I mean, it's maybe call me stupid, but that's what I think.
This horse may have pushed it up closer to 70. With what we've seen from the reaction just coming out to see him gallop in the mornings.
I mean, I got here. I thought I was getting here early. I was here 6:45, 2 hours before he galloped. And, you know, Union Avenue was a parking lot. I mean, no one was moving because everybody wants to get a piece of this horse. I mean, it's, you know, you talk about how popular Zenyatta was and Rachel Alexandra. No comparison.
Not even close.
No comparison to the popularity of this guy. I mean, I think a lot of it is because he's obviously a Triple Crown winner, but just the way he is. I mean, he's a, might sound goofy, but he's a people's horse. He loves people. Yesterday at the barn, after he was bathed and Bob was walking him around, he wanted to take him to the barn. He didn't want to go in. He wanted to stay out there with all the people that were around. If you guys were at the Belmont the day after he won the Belmont, Bob brought him out and let every media person over there come over. It was like there was like 50, 60 media people all around this horse, and he never flinched. And then he was on the Today Show and didn't move. I mean, he's something else. I mean, this horse really is different and obviously very talented.
Well, the best horses are always the smartest ones, and he's very smart, obviously.
Yes,
and
very intelligent.
He's just really cool to be around.
I think I might have him pick for me the rest of the meet.
It would be an upgrade.
It certainly would, because anyone that follows my picks ain't doing too good.
and you're one of the best. I mean, you're a guy that still has a job as a turf rider for a newspaper, and that's really a very rare thing these days.
It is. I mean, I do other stuff in the winter, but... I mean, but up here, horse racing is—it's our major league sport. I mean, it's the biggest thing we have here. And you know, when you see something like what happened yesterday, and I got to believe most of those people were local people that were coming up the Northway and down the Northway, just to get a glimpse of, you know, a legendary—well, not legendary yet, but on his way to legendary, just a Triple Crown winner. No one's seen it in, you know, 37 years.
Yeah, and what he's done for the sport in general, Tim, it seems like the interest across the board, whether you're here at Saratoga or you're going to other racetracks, the interest in horse racing now is at an all-time high, at least from what we've seen in the past couple of decades anyways.
No question about that. I mean, look at down at the Haskell, down in Monmouth. I mean, before they opened the doors, it was kind of like here.
Yep.
There were people just waiting outside to get in, and, you know, that never happens down there. Never. And they were only there to see him. Everybody, you know, I don't know. It is Traverse Day, but I don't know how many people here just to see him. Might not make a bet all day. They just want to see American Pharoah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens down by the paddock. I mean, it's got to be jammed right before the race, I would think.
Yeah.
So many
well,
people wanting to take
you remember
pictures.
At the Haskell, it was quiet when he came into the paddock. You expected that roar, and there were a few applause, but so
Everybody's
many people
taking the pictures.
Had their phones up in the air just trying to get a picture or video or whatever it might be. And even Baffert commented on that, how it was somewhat strange. They walked in, and it was so quiet.
Well, you got to remember, I was in the paddock, too. They might have been taking my picture.
Well, that's true, yeah. You and Governor Christie.
And Bill Murray.
That's right.
Yeah.
His Riders Up was epic.
It was. Who's doing Riders Up here?
I was just going to ask you. You're supposed to know. You're the reporter.
I'll have to
just talk about it.
I'll have to ask the toy man. See what he knows.
Right after you get your coupon.
Governor Christie, Bill Murray, Tim Wilkin. Another which of these things is not like the other game we'll play this
that's
morning.
That's obvious. Christie.
So I'm pulling in yesterday. And there's two guys sitting in front of the Welcome to Saratoga sign. My girlfriend and I, Christine, pull out yesterday. Guys are sitting there, so I roll the window down. You guys waiting online for tomorrow morning? Yep, so the shout-out to Sean and Chris. They were here as of 1:30 yesterday afternoon.
Just in
waiting
line.
To be the first people to get in here this morning. Their names were Sean and Chris. I told them I'd give them a shout-out this morning. There's the shout-out if they're listening. Sean and Chris, good job. They were here at least at 1:30 yesterday
afternoon.
How big
was their cooler?
Not that big, because I would have stopped and grabbed something out of it.
No, but I think they had.
They looked like they were. They were tied on. It was unbelievable. I have been around this sport. My mom pushed me around in a stroller. It had Monroe shocks on it, but she pushed me around in a stroller around Belmont and Aqueduct. But I can tell you right now, I have never seen. And we've been around, we've had some great horses come through this stuff. I have never seen the clamoring. Like you said earlier, Tim, everybody wants a piece of this horse.
Yeah, I mean, it's phenomenal for horse racing. I mean, if American Pharoah doesn't bring new fans to this game,
nobody will.
Nobody will. Nobody will.
No, he's something that, everyone is going to miss this horse so much next year. I mean, it's just, he is just, he's a gift. I mean, he's a treasure. We'll say whatever you want about him. I mean, he's something, he's a godsend to horse racing, and proves that God must be a horse racing fan that he sent this kind of animal down to let us watch.
Visiting with Tim Wilkin of the Albany Times Union here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. All right, Tim, everybody in attendance today is going to be cheering for American Pharoah to win it. I can't say everybody, but most people here are going to be cheering
everybody
for
but the Big
to
A.
win. Except for the Big A, who picked against them.
Yes, he's the only one I know that has so far.
Actually,
I know some others that have picked against him.
If he stubs his toe, if he succumbs to the graveyard of champions here today, who is the most likely upsetter?
You know, I think everyone is saying the most likely upsetters are either Texas Red or Frosted, but I mean, Anthony and I were talking about this before. I mean, the way Texas Red runs, you think that he's going to have to be the one that might end up doing the dirty work if they choose to go that way. And if he goes with Pharaoh, I don't think he's around at the end. I mean, I think if that happens, I think if he stubs his toe, the horse I picked to finish second is Keen Ice. I mean, I know that this will be the fourth time he's tried him, and he's gotten a little closer every time. But I'm kind of a sucker. Every time I talk to Dale Romans, I believe him.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, it's easy to drink that Dale Kool-Aid.
Dale convinced me a couple years ago that Medal Count would win the Kentucky Derby. And we all know how that worked out. So, but no, I think, I mean, Keen Ice will close, I would think.
Well, he gets out of here. He's won, four Travers?
Yeah, he's going for his fifth. And, yeah. You know, and the other horse I used underneath will be John Sheriff's horse, Smart Transition. I think he's got the opportunity, I think, to improve greatly off the Curlin, which was a pretty good race. And we all know who won the Curlin last year and what happened in the Travers.
Yes. Do you buy into that race over the track theory? Because a lot of people who like Smart Transition, that's the angle they're looking at. He won the Curlin. That's exactly what VE Day did last year en route to a 19-1.
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing Bob Baffert is pretty concerned about. He's always said if you want to win the Travers, you got to run in the Jim Dandy. You got to race over the track. You know, but when you ask him the obvious question, why didn't you run here then instead of the Haskell? It's because this horse, you know, is a different breed. This is like, you know, when he was up here with Byron and with Coyle, Bob didn't even come to those races.
Right.
He knew that he knew they probably were up against it, even though, you know, then he goes on and wins the Breeders' Cup Classic with Byron last year. So he has said, I think Bob is a little worried about horses that have ran here and also have trained here all summer, but maybe that worry goes away when he looks in stall 11 over at Terra Nova's barn and sees what's in there. I mean, that horse, he's better than these horses. If he runs, as long as he doesn't stub his toe, he wins the race. I think it's that simple.
Well, Timmy, it's always a delight to have you here on the program. It's not a Travers morning without you. We missed you last year. Happy to have you back on the mix here. And all the best on this Travers Day, my friend.
Hey, I appreciate hanging out with you guys. It's always a lot of fun, and happy Travers Day to all of you.
Give out your social media account, because I know people can follow you on Twitter. They can also go back and read your pieces online, but how can they do that?
Jeez, do I remember that? Because the first time I ever did Twitter, I said, and I didn't realize it went to everyone, I said, Twitter is for morons. it went on the Times Union homepage, and I got a little flack for that. But my address, my Twitter handle, is that what you call it, is TJ Wilkin, WILKIN. And what else do you want to know?
How can they read it online?
Well, they got a paywall now, so they've gone, the Hearst company's gone on the.
I should have stopped three questions ago.
Yeah, the Hearst Corporation.
Yeah, you always have to ask that extra question.
I had to
right?
go one more.
The Hearst Corporation is going the Naira route, make the almighty dollar. So it's timesunion.com. I think they give some of the stories out for free.
Yours.
Yeah, probably.
Timmy, we appreciate it, my friend. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. And we'll get that to you and appreciate it all the time.
I appreciate it with you guys. You guys do a great job, as I said before, and happy Travers Day to all of you.
You too. Thanks, buddy.
Even you, Anthony.
Appreciate it. All right, we're going to get to a quick commercial break. We'll come back. Our Right or Wrong segment presented by Sunrise Stallions is on the other side of this break, and then we'll go down the road to the Breeders' Cup presented by Gainsway. and we'll visit with Keith DeSormo in that segment. Stay tuned. It's all next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Do you know how fast you were going, son?
Call me Ed.
Do you know how fast you were going, Ed?
You mean exactly?
Yes, exactly.
No, not exactly. How fast?
Fast.
Faster?
You were going very fast.
Fast is my job, officer.
Fast is your job?
Yes, sir.
What kind of job?
I deliver, sir.
What do you deliver?
The world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
I thought Jimmy John's had the world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
Jimmy John's does have the world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
So you deliver for Jimmy John's?
I deliver for Jimmy John's.
So do you always deliver fast?
I always deliver fast.
How fast?
I deliver subs so fast you'll freak.
It's not smart to freak a cop, son.
You didn't order Jimmy John's sub, sir.
So if I did order a Jimmy John's sub, when would I get it?
Now.
What if I don't want it now?
Then call later.
Or I could pick it up myself.
Or you could pick it up yourself.
Because I'm pretty fast too.
I'm sure you are, sir.
Very fast.
I believe you, sir.
Faster than you.
No way, sir.
Way faster.
In your dreams.
You dissing me, son.
No, sir, I'm polite.
Fast and polite.
Very polite and very, very fast.
Is that a challenge, son?
No, sir, it's a fact.
Let's burn rubber, kid.
You wouldn't be fair.
Why not?
You've got a fully blown V8 Camaro with slicks and headers.
So?
I've got a 10-speed bike.
I'll let you off with a warning.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Tollgate Hay Company in Georgetown, Kentucky is family-owned and operated and offers top-quality local and northern hay and straw. At Tollgate Hay Company, you'll find hay in both large and small squares with western hay available upon request. Are you in need of bagged shavings or the best in McCauley's feed? Tollgate Hay has you covered. So call today, 502-542-8343. That's 502-542-8343. Tollgate Hay Company.
When the Lexus LS was introduced, it changed the industry. Decades of world's first and countless awards later, it's considered by many to be the finest vehicle in the world. So how do you improve upon the impossible standard you've set? Piece by methodical piece, scrutinize every aspect of the driving experience in search of new ways to surprise and inspire those inside. I'm Mike Penna, and I will tell you firsthand that you can say the same things about the people at the Lexus store of Lexington. The people truly do make the difference. From the godfather Tony Attiano to their outstanding sales team, I promise that when you walk through their doors on the corner of New Circle and Liberty, you'll feel the same way. And if you're in the horse business, there's no reason to go anywhere else. The people at the Lexus store are horse people. They're actively involved with supporting the industry, and they want to be the dealership of the equine industry. So stop in and see them and find out for yourself what it means to be a part of the pursuit of perfection at the Lexus store of Lexington.
Triple Crown winner, American Pharoah, returns to the track for the Traverse Stakes on a huge day of racing. That also includes our exclusive coverage of the Personal Ensign, the Sword Dancer Invitational, the Forego Stakes, the Ballerina Stakes, the King's Bishop, and Ballston Spa. Don't miss our exclusive coverage live from Saratoga later today, beginning at 3 p.m. Eastern. American Pharoah's return in the Traverse and a full day of graded stakes racing only on HRRN. Presented by Sunrise Stallions. Go to horseracingradio.net for a complete list of affiliates and to listen live online.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Back on the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, Mike Penna, Jute Feld, and Anthony Stabile. We are positioned just about 30 yards from this historic main track where the 146th Traverse Stakes will be contested later this afternoon, right around 5:46 Eastern. You will hear that race exclusively with us on radio right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. It comes up 3 to 6 Eastern time, all presented by Sunrise Stallions. Make sure you tune in then. Sirius XM 93, affiliates across the country, and streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. Trainer Keith DeSormo is going to join us in just a couple of moments to help take you down the road to the Breeders' Cup. That is presented by Gainsway. But before we get to that segment, it is time for our weekly Right or Wrong segment presented by Sunrise Stallions. Big A, let's do it.
Yeah, right or wrong. Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, here we go, my friend. We'll keep it simple. American Pharoah will prove to be unfazed by the Mystique Graveyard of the Champions and will join Whirlaway as the only Triple Crown winners to win the Midsummer Derby. Is that right or wrong?
That is wrong. Could you listen to the intro of Hour 2?
What?
Could you listen to it? There was a burger here for years at a restaurant 3 miles away. It was called the Secretariat Burger, Baron. You know why? The only thing it was topped by was an onion. Onion! Secretariat lost here! Secretariat! That's it! I don't have to say anything else! I win! Knockout! Right or wrong? Lee, ring the bell!
Let me ask you this. All right, let me ask you this question. Have you ever heard... Have you ever heard the saying, pace makes the race? Have you heard that?
Absolutely.
Do you agree with that?
For the most part, sure.
Okay, if you agree with that, then you agree that American Pharoah gets to the front today. He's the only speed in the race. He controls it all the way around, and he never looks back. Pace makes the race. He can't lose.
I think the horse trained by the gentleman we're going to have on in a few minutes is going to have something to say about that today.
All right, we're going to find out.
Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, Nikki Z, right or wrong? All right, right or wrong? Here we go. Jockey Victor Espinoza has been everywhere since winning the Triple Crown. And it was announced this week that he will compete in the new fall season of Dancing with the Stars. Now, Big A, this is something you're looking forward to seeing, right or wrong?
The boss, Michelle Pena, makes fun of me for my New Kids on the Block bumper sticker on my Hyundai.
Rightfully so.
Joey McIntyre, my second favorite new kid, was on Dancing with the Stars, and I didn't watch it, so I'm sorry. Victor Espinoza is not going to get me to watch Dancing with the Stars. Want no part of it.
The only time I've watched Dancing with the Stars is when Hines Ward was on there, right? Pittsburgh Steeler, Hines
Ward.
Go
Steelers,
right?
We know. Yeah,
right, of course. Right. Victor Espinoza is going to attract my attention. I want to see him on here. I want to see how he handles the whole task of trying to dance the way they do on Dancing with the Stars, right? What do you call it? Ballroom dancing? Is that
it? They do everything.
Right. They do everything.
Tangos, they ballroom dance.
I want to see if he's got those kind of moves.
He can't break dance like Danny Wood, I can tell you that right now.
Well, we're going to find out, aren't we? Yes, I want to see it. I can't wait.
All right.
All right, there you go.
Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, having a little fun here on the program this morning. Right or wrong, Big A?
And if you think...
I'm right, you're wrong. That's basically what it comes down to.
You think with our man Nick Zito, Hall of Famer, doing the voice stuff for us for this segment, I'm not betting a $5 bill on Fermento today, just in case?
All Fermento. I'm giving it to you right now.
Just in case.
All Fermento. Make the wager now. Right or wrong?
Right. I'm always right.
All right, we're back to take you down the road to the Breeders' Cup right after this word from Sunrise Stallions.
The stallion roster at Sunrise Stallions includes Big Brown, Frost Giant, and his full brother Heavy Breathing, who combined to breed more than 200 mares this season. Big Brown leads all New York Stallions in 2015 earnings with over $3 million, and this year's two-year-olds come from his biggest crop. Frost Giant's largest two-year-old crop debuts next year, and 17 yearlings by Frost Giant have been accepted by Fasig Tipton for the New York Preferred Sale in Saratoga. Learn more by visiting sunrisestallions.com.
And time now to take you down the road to the Breeders' Cup, all presented by Gainsway.
This is the Road to the Breeders' Cup.
In the race of the year, for Horse of the Year.
Presented by Gainsway on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And how appropriate is it that we will be joined by trainer Keith DeSormo, who sends out Jim Dandy winner Texas Red for this Road to the Breeders' Cup segment? Because, first of all, Texas Red is a Breeders' Cup winner, winning the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last year. And he is a son of Gainsway stallion Affleet Alex, which, of course, Gainsway, the sponsor of this segment. So happy to have Keith DeSormo with us here on the network. Keith, appreciate the time, my friend.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, happy to have you on board.
Caught me at one of those rare quiet moments, even though it's race day. We're all in pretty good shape mentally.
Well, I'm sure. And it's your very first Travers starter. So what's the experience been like so far?
Oh, you know, I got to admit, it's a little more of a media frenzy and a fan frenzy than I expected. But I think that's because American Pharoah's here, not because this is a typical Travers day. Now, I know Travers is a big deal out here, a big-time community event, and gets everybody kind of in horse racing gear, but I think American Pharoah probably stepped it up another notch.
Well, Keith, American Pharoah is the deserved favorite this afternoon after winning the Triple Crown. But let's face it, this is the graveyard of champions. You have squared off with American Pharoah one other time. It was last year at Santa Anita in the front runner. Texas Red came flying. He finishes third that afternoon right before going on and taking the Breeders' Cup Juvenile in his next start. So you get an opportunity here for a little bit of revenge this afternoon.
Well, you say we squared off. I don't think we ever actually got to that point. I would consider squaring off at least being able to get up to his neck or hook him eyeball to eyeball at some part of the race. It was a pretty decisive effort on his part, so kudos to him. The thing that we do have in our advantage is the fact that we've had plenty of time to mature. Texas Red is a big, growthy, rangy horse, so time has benefited him. And of course, we're fresh, and we have the home field advantage. We've been here since July 16th in New York since July 1st. So 2 months here, whereas Texas has, American Pharoah has to travel. Hopefully we can, or I know that'll be to our advantage, but we'll need all the help we can get. American Pharoah is a monster.
When you were training American Pharoah, Texas Red toured that matchup with American Pharoah. It seemed like your brother rode him with an eye on the Breeders' Cup rather than an eye on winning that race. Do you think you could have been closer if Kent had, you know, really been all out trying to win the Chandelier, I believe it was?
The front runner?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, at that point, we had him figured out pretty well, but it still hit the knowledge. Our knowledge of Texas Red at that time was still growing. We loved him, but we also knew that we had only had one, the maiden win under his belt. Although that is a distinct advantage at that time of the year, there probably wasn't five route races for two-year-olds coming up to the front runner. So we had that fitness advantage. But the class acumen, we didn't know how good he could really be until we actually ran him. We loved him, but it took that performance in the front runner to solidify what we think we knew and we were ecstatic about the effort.
Keith, last time out here in the Jim Dandy, Texas Red was a lot more forwardly placed than he had ever been before. Kent rode him pretty aggressively out of the gate. Was that by design, or was that a result of the abbreviated four-horse field?
I think both. First of all, when you say he was more forward, I associate that with that he was running faster. But there I disagree. He was going faster in the Dwyer in his relation to the leader than he was in the Jim Dandy. The pace was so much slower in the Jim Dandy, that's why he was closer. Now, the reason he was closer to the pace is for the reason I just explained. He's coming out of a faster race, so he was naturally ready to be closer to the pace coming out of such a quick one-turn mile. So now we have the Jim Dandy that may have taken a little speed out of our natural tactics. So today, if the pace is slow, he might need to be consciously forwardly placed. That's going to be totally a jockey decision.
Talking with trainer Keith DeSormo here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. He sends out Texas Red in today's Traverse Stakes. Keith, you mentioned the jockey decision. Well, the jockey is your Hall of Fame brother, Kent, and Kent won this race in 2009 with Summerbird. How special would it be for you to be able to go down this road with your brother and give him his second Travers win and your very first?
Well, you know, it, brother or not, just to be at this level of racing, the journey that it's taken to get here with a horse that we only paid $17,000 for, it's more about the history of the race, the journey, the accomplishments, the gratitude that we have just to be able to partake in this event is what it's all about. The brother thing comes second, and with that being said, sure, it does add a little bit of a special feel when you can accomplish such things with your family.
You know, I saw your brother right after the Jim Dandy. He was in the winner's circle. I went over and congratulated him. And, of course, you didn't make the trip. You were in California. Was there any thought to staying in California for this one, too? Because that worked out pretty good in the Jim Dandy.
Yeah, no. You know, it was just I knew that these horses were very well taken care of, and I had been here the week before. It's just a matter of where my presence would benefit the most. And we've got 25 in training in California. We had made the move there. We had so much going on. I needed to be there. And these horses were totally being taken care of as good as if I was here with Julie Clark and the other help. So I know you're making light of the situation, but no, I wouldn't have missed this for the world.
Yeah, I'm a very superstitious guy, so I might have had to consider that myself. But, Keith, yeah. Really do appreciate the time. You're awesome. You've always been great with me, and can't thank you enough. All the best this afternoon in the Travers, and good luck and a safe trip to your brother as well.
Okay, man. Thank you.
All right, Keith DeSormo here on HRRN. I love that guy. He's so much fun to talk with. He's so candid.
Yeah.
Right? He doesn't beat around the bush. He tells you exactly what he's thinking.
Yeah, kind of the opposite of his brother.
Well, poor Kent. At the time, we don't know what he's saying. He just comes out with it.
Yeah.
He's the best.
Kent's a great interview. He provided me with my greatest interview of all time, reportedly. I asked him one question, and he went on for about 5 minutes, and everybody said, man, that was a great interview. I said, I asked him one question.
He's the greatest. Well, of course, Texas Red, as I mentioned, is son of Gainesway Stallion of Fleet Alex. He is one of two represented by Gainesway Stallions in the Travers this year, along with Frosted, who is the son of the outstanding leading sire, Tappet. We're going to step away for a quick word from Gainesway, and we're back to wrap up this edition of the Equine Forum.
Power.
It is Texas Red just outclassing them. Look at this for an easy one in the Breeders' Cup.
Passion.
And Materiality is undefeated. He has won the Florida Derby.
Performance.
At Charleroi in a driving finish. Charleroi to win the Oaks.
Gainesway Stallion of Fleet Alex has produced 7 Grade 1 winners, 4 in the past 10 months, including Breeders' Cup Juvenile and Jim Dandy winner Texas Red, Florida Derby hero Materiality, and Del Mar Oaks winner Charleroi. Other top runners by a Fleet Alex include Grade 1 Travers winner of Fleet Express, Grade 2 Delaware Oaks winner Dancing a Fleet, and Harissa, winner of the Grade 2 Barbara Fritchie. Eclipse champion of Fleet Alex won the Preakness and Belmont by a combined 11 3/4 lengths. A Fleet Alex standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
And just a few minutes left to wrap up a very busy Travers morning edition of the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Want to say some thank yous to everybody who joined us this morning, including Eric Bishop from Sunrise Stallions. They are the title sponsor of our coverage this afternoon from 3 to 6. Of course, Keith DeSormo for being here just a few moments ago. Hall of Famer Bob Baffert for taking the time to join us at the Fasig-Tipton sale a couple of weeks ago. Tim Wilkin from the Albany Times Union and Hall of Fame jockey Gary Stevens. Of course, if you missed any of those interviews, you can go back to our website, horseracingradio.net, Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes, and check out the podcast of the program coming up shortly after we go off the air here this morning.
First post here at Saratoga today is 11:45. You know what a good thing to do is, Barry? Go back and listen to the Express Bet Weekend Stakes Preview. Me and Ella Starr, I'll tell you how to make some money in the Travers today.
Tell you how to beat American Pharoah? Is that what you're going to do?
Yeah.
You're a hater, man.
No, I'm not. You see, I'm not.
Almost un-American to go against American. It is un-American to go against American Pharoah.
We don't have pharaohs here.
We had a few walking around here yesterday.
All evidence
gallop.
To the contrary.
Yeah. There were a few walking here. Yeah. I've never seen anything like that before. I came here in 1996 to watch Chigar before he went out to the Pacific Classic. He was beaten by Darren Goh that year. But I came here for his final public work, and it was nothing like we saw here yesterday.
No, it was crazy yesterday. Unbelievable. And there were several pharaohs walking around here.
Yeah. By the way, if people are wondering about that work and they didn't get a chance to see that gallop, I won't call it a work, it was a gallop yesterday. If they didn't get a chance to see it, they can go to our Twitter feed, at HRRN. We posted a video of that yesterday.
Great video, by the way. It's
retweeted all over the world. Yeah, so you can go there, check it out, and it was really kind of cool to see him come by. But I said that to somebody yesterday. I did a radio interview with our affiliate in Louisville, Kentucky, and they asked me about the atmosphere yesterday, and it said 15,000 people. They basically turned out to see him for 11 seconds. That video is 11 seconds long as he flashed by. That's what they got to see. But they were here.
That's about what he was doing on the racetrack, too. He actually, I caught him on my watch from the 3/8 pole to the quarter pole in 13 flat. So he was galloping pretty good. Now, the rider did take a hold of him. He ended up going the last 3/8 in 42. But, you know, he can really just look like he's walking, and it's 13 flat. Amazing.
And keep in mind, he was on the track for, like you said, 2 minutes. 15,000 people were here. When they close the doors at Saratoga for the meet on Labor Day and they move back to Belmont, you won't get 15,000 people at Belmont in a week. They were here to watch a horse train at 8:45 in the morning, 4 hours before post time.
Yeah, he's a rock star.
And then they had to leave because they got to come back in. They cleared the place out at 10 o'clock, 10:30. So, I mean, just remarkable what he's done.
Yeah, and by the way, I've made it this long in the program, nearly the whole show, without a countdown. So here you go. We're 62 days, 5 hours, and 32 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup at Keeneland, October 30th and 31st. We will be there as your exclusive radio home for the Breeders' Cup. The only place you'll hear the Breeders' Cup on radio, coast to coast, worldwide, is right here with us on the network. That coverage presented by our friends at Kale Density.
Less than 9 weeks away. It's amazing.
Yeah, and a few Breeders' Cup Challenge races on tap for today, too. And six grade ones. We talk about the Travers. That's been the focus. But six grade ones. Come on.
Seven stakes in all, six of them grade ones.
Unbelievable, JT.
You got to love it. This is why we come to the spa.
Is it the Pharaoh and everybody else this afternoon?
It's the way I see it.
How loud is this place going to be if he turns for home? He's in front by five.
I can't wait till he walks out of the tunnel. Forget about the turning for home.
Our coverage this afternoon, 3 to 6 Eastern. Make sure you join us, SiriusXM Channel 93, streaming worldwide on our site and on affiliates around the country. Been a lot of fun. For our producer back in Lexington, Kentucky, Lee Delapina, for Sean C. here on site, for the Big A, Anthony Stabile, and for the Pontiff, Jude Feld, I am Mike Pennon. Because nothing good comes of deviation, go Steelers!
Good night, Barbados.